God has to show us because he is love. Amen. Thank you for the message and song. It is a thrill and an honor here at Crossroads Baptist Church to do what we've done so many times here, and that is to welcome back here Dr. Don Sisk. And there really is no way to describe in words what Dr. Sisk has meant to Crossroads Baptist Church by way of his ministry, not only in preaching, but his love personally to our family, his involvement and connection with so many folks here at Crossroads Baptist Church. You know, when Dr. Sisk comes here, we don't just get a preacher preaching to us. He's a friend to us. And he's been a friend to Crossroads Baptist Church. And he's talking about 32 years in a row coming, and that doesn't count how many times he's been here. Other times, and he had been here before he started coming those 32 years. He's been to COBA so many times, been here for other special services, stayed in our home, been with us, prayed with us, fasted and stood by us through many times, and was there when nobody was there, and we so appreciate him. And of course, you can't thank God for Dr. Sisk without just thanking God for Mrs. Sisk, her legacy that still lives on, and the impact that Mrs. Virginia Sisk made on Crossroads Baptist Church. A classy, godly, humble woman stood by his side all those years, and heaven got sweeter when she got there, and we sure thank the Lord. Dr. Sisk has faithfully served the Lord as a pastor, as a missionary, as the director at BIMI, as a college professor, preaching all over this world in 70 or more countries, and still takes time to be with Crossroads Baptist Church. Doesn't just give us his time, but he pours his heart into this church. We should never take that for granted. We are forever indebted to his ministry here, and we're thankful for it. I'm thankful to have him as my friend, and I'm thankful to invite him back to this pulpit. So let's welcome back here once again, Dr. Don Sisk.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Baldwin, for the opportunity to be here again this year. It is always just a great joy. I think every year when I listen to the choir, it's better than ever. But I do believe this year it really is better than ever. So thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for your prayers. I have certainly felt the prayers of God's people this year, probably more than any other time in my life. And from the depth of my heart, I want to thank so many of you, dear folks. Open your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 13. Tonight I'd like to talk on the subject, From Here to the World. From Here to the World, Acts chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 5. And you follow me in your Bible. And then after we read the Bible and pray, you can be seated. And I will try to preach. I heard the story one time about a little boy that went to church, and he didn't know what anybody was doing. He said, "What are all those men doing walking up and down the aisles collecting everybody's money?" And the host tried to explain to him what they were doing. And then he, you know, "What's that fella doing waving his hand up there while everybody's singing?" You know, he had never been to church before, so he's asking. And finally the preacher got up there and he said, "What is that fella doing up there beating on that piece of wood and hollering?" And host said, "Well, he's trying to preach." And the little boy laughed and said, "Ha ha, he couldn't do it, could he?" Okay. So after I finish tonight, please don't say ha ha. Okay. But it's so good to hear about the good health of Brother Michael. I feel pretty good till I go to the doctor, okay? And then he wants me to go to 10 other doctors, and I don't do it, okay? So I've just about decided to quit going to doctors, okay? Somebody said most people die in the hospital, so I've just about decided I'm not going to the hospital, all right? Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Aren't we glad of that one? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So that's where we get the word sending church. They sent them away. But then in verse 4, we find about another sending. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to be their minister." Think about it. From here to the world. From here to the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Crossroads Baptist Church. We thank you for the wonderful past. We thank you, dear Lord, for what you're doing today. And we thank you, dear Lord, for what you're going to do. And we believe that the past is going to be much greater than anything we've ever seen. Thank you, dear Lord, for the mission conference and each of the missionary families that are here tonight. And I pray you'd bless each of them. Help them to be a blessing to this people. And I know from experience that the people here are going to be a blessing to the missionaries. Now I pray that you would guide my thinking tonight, dear Lord. Touch my mind so I could think right. My lips that I could speak right. My heart that I could be right. Dear Lord, touch the hearts of your people tonight as they hear not just what some preacher would say, but thus saith the word of God. Lord, you promise when my word goes forth, it shall not return to me void. And we stand upon that great promise tonight. And that's the reason we love to preach your word. In Jesus' name, I beg these petitions. Amen. You may be seated. On October the 4th in 1957, the first artificial satellite, Sputnik, was launched by the Soviet Union. On May the 5th, 1961, Americans launched their first astronaut, Alan Shepard, into space. On February the 20th, 1962, John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth, completing three orbits. On July the 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin launched one and walked on the moon. Can you imagine watching those launches? I had the opportunity to be in Florida two times, and I wasn't close enough to see all of it, but just to watch and see it going up into space was an amazing thing. The launch pad into space. There are many other launches that were very exciting and world-changing. However, the most important launch in the history of the Christian church took place in A.D. 48 in the city of Antioch. The city on this date became the launch pad for world evangelization. I would like to have been there in a way, but then again, if I'd have been there, I'd been dead tonight, okay? So maybe I would not have liked to have been there, okay? But it was a wonderful launch pad. Now, in reality, that was not the beginning of missions. We read in Acts chapter 4 in our Bible these words. They that were scattered abroad, and by the way, the reason they were scattered abroad was because of the persecution led by a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Up until that time, all the Christians had stayed in Jerusalem. But when the persecution came, then the Bible says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching. By the way, that's what missions is all about, amen. For several years, all the Christians stayed in Jerusalem and preached the gospel nearly exclusively to the Jewish people. However, when the great persecution came, they were scattered abroad. This really was the first missionary movement. But at Antioch, we find the first organized missionary movement. Within a matter of a few years after this, the gospel had been preached to the then known world. From the 5th century until the latter part of the 18th century, think about it, many, many years, there was very little missionary emphasis among the churches. Now, during that time, there were some great churches, particularly in the country of England. There were great churches all over England, but absolutely no missionary emphasis, none. On one occasion, a young preacher by the name of William Carey, along with two or three other young preachers, were listening to a preacher by the name of John Ryrie. And he was a great learned man. He wrote several books. We have some commentaries today even by John Ryrie. A great man of God, great theologian. And they were asking questions like we asked of Brother Waller tonight. And William Carey stood up and said, Dr. Ryrie, do you believe that we as the churches of England today have as much responsibility to evangelize our generation as the first generation of disciples had to evangelize their generation? Do you believe there ought to be more missionary emphasis? And John Ryrie said to William Carey, young man, sit down and shut up. And obviously, the young preacher sat down. And he shut up that day. But then he would have his day. And he began to write. And on May the 12th, 1792, there was a pamphlet that was published on that particular day simply by the name of Inquiry on Missions. The pamphlet was widely distributed among the Baptist churches there in England. And on May the 31st, I wish it would have been May the 30th, okay? You say, why, Brother Seth? That's my birthday, just in case any of you are concerned, okay? But on May the 31st, 1792, William Carey got to preach to the Baptists of England. And on that day, he preached that great missionary movement, that great missionary message, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Now, he did not have a big response, but a few did respond, and those few preachers, along with William Carey, organized the first missionary organization in England. And a few months after that, William Carey, along with his family, left England as the first missionaries on their way to India. And the rest is history. And for that reason, we look at William Carey as the father of modern-day missions. After him, there arose great men of God that opened country after country. Hudson Taylor going to China. David Livingstone opening up the field of Africa. And what an exciting thing that was as this dark continent began to be opened up to people bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those people. I could name missionary after missionary that left England. And England became a great launching pad. On June the 17th, 18 and 12, Adoniram Judson became the first missionary to leave the soil of the American continent and go to the country of Burma. There were some great launching pads. Just as it was exciting to see those various space capsules launched into space. But the most exciting thing and the most important thing in all the world was the launching of the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On June the 22nd, 1976, a young man by the name of Lou Baldwin trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And by the way, not just Savior, but Lord. Amen. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In other words, he indeed became his Savior, but he also became his Lord. On July the 6th, 1978, he committed his life to the preaching of the gospel. In September of 1981, under his leadership, the Crossroads Baptist Church was started. The rest is history. It became a launching pad. And today, all over America, there are churches that have been started and were launched out of Crossroads Baptist Church. That's history. By the way, we need to remember history. Amen. That's history. Now, what about today? What about now? What about me? What about you in this generation? So think about a couple of simple things tonight. And all my things are simple, okay? I don't plan it that way. It just happens, okay? What about missions? What is missions anyway? We read in Acts chapter 13 what missions is all about. Number one, missions is about a God that calls laborers. Look, if you would, in verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Saul, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them. What is missions all about? Missions is about a God that calls. You cannot think about a call of God without thinking about Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" That's the call of God. By the way, it's a rather generic call. Now, I do not know they were speaking specifically to Isaiah, but thank God I do know that Isaiah heard the call. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I think in the last few days that there have been well over 4,000 young people that walked across the stages of American Bible colleges and received a degree of some kind. I think Pensacola alone had 997. I would have got three more people to walk across even if there had been a dog, amen. But the sad thing is, and I remember, and it's not been the too distant past, okay, when we would have as many as one-third to one-half of all of the graduates of certain Bible colleges, by the way, some of them that are not even in existence today, but one-half to one-third of them would be called to the mission fields. And sad to say, of those 4,000 that walked across the platforms and received degrees in recent days, I believe I can safely say not even one-tenth of them are going to the mission fields. Now I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I used to always get on our students at West Coast Baptist College, turn your phone off. Don't ever let your phone go off. In fact, it'd be better to leave it in the dorm. None of them listen to that, okay? And one day I forgot to turn my phone off. And I picked up my cell phone and I said, hello. And then I cut it off. And I tried to fake it. And I said, okay, the phone rang. But somebody had to pick it up and answer it. And they all laughed at me. They knew better than that. Amen. I wasn't doing it as an illustration. I had forgot to turn my phone off. But I mean, the phone can ring and ring and ring and ring, and nothing will happen until somebody answers. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Here's the right answer. And Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. Here am I. He volunteered. Here am I. Send me. Sad to say, you can visit most Bible colleges, and most of the time when that question, whom shall I send and who will go for us, a bunch of men would say, here is my sister, send her. There's a lot more girls surrendering to the mission field than there are men. Whom shall I send? Who'll go for us? That's a good question, isn't it? What's missions all about? It's about a God that is calling. A fellow said to me not long ago, with the population of the world 7.6 billion people, isn't it strange that more people are not being called to the mission field? And I said, don't blame that on God. God is still calling. What is missions all about? It's about a God that called. It is about a man that will listen. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You see, God had spoken personally to Barnabas and Saul about the mission fields of the world. And by the way, since the Antioch church was primarily a Gentile church, they were not interested just in Jews. They were interested in every kind of people in the world. And by the way, that is a good New Testament church, amen. In other words, the field is the world. Many of them were from different places, different countries and so forth. And they no doubt had a burden. Barnabas and Saul answered the call. What about you? What about you? You say, oh, Brother Sisk, I'm 25 years old. I'm too old. God wouldn't call me, would he? Or maybe I'm 45 years old. Hey, there's no limit to where God calls or when God calls. But I'm so busy. I'm so important here. Really? Could I ask a question tonight? What are you doing here that somebody else could not do if God would send you to the mission field? Barnabas and Saul, they were pretty important people in the church at Antioch. In fact, they may have been the pastor and the associate pastor. Preacher said to me one time, Brother Sis, why is it that God always calls the best people in my church to be missionaries? And I said, well, God's pretty careful who he chooses, amen. You think he's going to choose somebody that's no good in your church to be a missionary? No. A man said to me one time, or a woman said to me one time, a woman, Brother Sis, my brother-in-law has had 5 jobs in the last 2 years. He can't hold a job for all. Do you think maybe God may be calling him to be a missionary? And I said, I hope not, amen. Then you need a church that'll pray. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had prayed, you can do a lot more after you pray, but you can't do more before you pray than to pray. What's missions all about? It's about a church that will pray. A praying church is going to produce missionaries for the fields of the world. Jesus said it. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And my dear friend, the harvest has never been so plenteous. And proportionately, the laborers have never been so few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers into his harvest. What's missions all about? It's about a God that calls. It's about men who will respond. It's about a church that will pray and fast. And it's about the Holy Ghost that guides and empowers. It says in verse 3 that the church sent them away. They laid their hands on them. They sent them away. By the way, that is a very important thing. When God honors a church to be the sending church of a missionary, that is a very important position your church holds. But then the next verse says, then they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed. Okay. Thank God for the encouragement that a sending church is to the missionary. But thank God that when the missionary goes to the mission field, he doesn't just go out there to do the best he can, wherever he can. No, 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 no. He has the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And that is absolutely necessary. Without that, there'd be no need for anybody to go anywhere. We need the Holy Spirit of God that guides and empowers. What's missions all about? It's about a God that calls. It's about men who will listen and respond. It's about a church that will pray. It's about the Holy Spirit that guides. And it's about a plan that is from God. Missionaries, aren't you glad God don't say, now just figure out what you can do when you get over there and go over there and wherever it is and just do the best you can. Thank God we have a guidebook, amen? We have a book that tells us what we're supposed to do. What's the plan for missions anyway? Turn your Bibles over a couple of verses to chapter 14. Find out what God's plan is for missions. After Paul and Barnabas left for the mission field, they went through Cyprus and then they went to Perga. And then the first place that they really began to minister as far as establishing a church was Antioch of Pisidia, a different Antioch than from which they were sent, okay? And by the way, here's a good thing that happened. Every time I read this, I just nearly have to laugh, okay? When they went to the synagogue there in Antioch, and after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, that's Barnabas and Saul, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. By the way, read the rest of it. And Saul said, hey, I just happen to have a word, amen? And I mean, he preaches a great message. I mean, he tells about, I know about the Jewish religion and so forth. I was brought up in that and so forth. Now, I want to tell you that your Messiah has already come and you crucified him, but thank God he was buried and resurrected from the grave and he's willing and able to save all who will come unto him. What's the plan of missions anyway? Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, preached the gospel. What's the plan of mission? To preach the gospel. And our doctor friend tonight has told us that the medical portion of the ministry that he's involved in is a bait to bring the people. And regardless of what we have to do, we need to bring as many people as we can so they can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we only heal their bodies, if we only feed them physical food, if we only educate them, all we've done is prepare them for hell. The plan is the preaching of the gospel. And by the way, read all of the book of Acts everywhere, Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Saul, Silas and other missionaries and so forth. Everywhere they went, they did the same thing. They preached the gospel. If we're not careful, we go get so busy in our churches with so many other things that we forget about the main thing. And by the way, the main thing is to get the gospel out to the whole world. I read a funny story the other day about a little boy that coaxed his mother and grandmother to play with him in the sandbox. And so he gave each of them a little bucket and a tool to work with. And the mother and grandmother got into a big conversation and they were talking and talking. And somebody walked by the place and saw these two women out in the sandbox. And they were the only ones there. The little boy had gotten out of the sandbox and was playing in the backyard. You know what happened? They had forgotten why they were there. Hey, by the way, don't forget why you're here. the preaching of the gospel. And by the way, that's not all. And I am 100% in favor of short-term mission trips. Thank God for them, okay? But there's more to church planting and biblical Christianity than evangelism. In other words, being saved is more than just a ticket to heaven and an escape from hell. Now, thank God it is that, amen? I mean, if we're saved by the grace of God, the very moment you get saved, you're as much saved as you will ever be. You're as sure for heaven as if you were already there. Now, that's a great truth, and thank God for that. But that's not the end of it. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By the way, that's not the end of that paragraph. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk therein. In other words, after they got saved, there was the teaching. Now, thank God, again, I say it, and I believe one of the greatest things that's happened in the last 50 years is that great numbers of people are going on short-term mission trips. And as much good as that does, that's not the end of missions. There has to be somebody there to teach those who have been saved. There has to be somebody that will go and learn the culture and adapt to the culture and learn the language and be willing to stay there and teach them. Notice what it said. And verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, they returned again into Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we much through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, there will always be a need for some people to go and make missions their life. By the way, that may be you. To stay there, to teach them, to go through the problems that they go through with. One of the greatest thrills that we had in Japan would be when somebody would come forward and after they had been saved for a few months and say, teacher, I believe God wants us in full-time Christian ministry. And that was always a great blessing. But then we could always expect their family to be in total opposition to that. Because most of them were first-generation Christians. And most of their parents knew absolutely nothing about Christianity. So there needs to be somebody that will confront them and comfort them and go through their ministry with them. And then I love the next part. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, think about it. The church that was at Antioch, that was not a universal church. Amen. That was not an invisible church. I hear people talking about the invisible church, the universal church, but I've never gotten support from an invisible or a universal church. And we have never gotten a missionary from an invisible or a universal church. It was a local church, a church at Antioch, Crossroads Baptist Church at Bailey's Crossroads or wherever you're at, okay? Amen. Look at it. When they had ordained elders, they trained leaders. They trained leaders. That's what missions is all about. Amen. Somebody has well said, if there is no successor, there is no success. You folks at Crossroads Baptist Church, maybe you do not realize how fortunate that you are that when Dr. Lou Baldwin resigned as the pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church, you did not miss a lick because there was a successor. And on the mission field, if there are not trained leaders, there is no lasting success. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them unto the Lord on whom they had believed. In other words, you've been saved, you've been baptized, we taught you, now God has raised up some leaders, now you are an independent, self-supporting, self-propagating church. Now, I love mission organizations. I love BIMI. I've been a part of it since 1964. But God's organization, or God's organism for world evangelization, is the local church. Now, think about it. They were sent out by a church. When they had finished their first missionary term, they went back to a church and they reported to a church. And when they were on the mission field, they were establishing churches. That's God's plan for world evangelization. By the way, we don't need to look for a new way to do things. I believe in the depth of my heart, the greatest need is just to get back to the book and do it the way they did it in the New Testament. Let me read you one other verse in conclusion tonight. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. Listen to it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same grace, gospel, okay, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's God's plan. And I've often thought, and I've got a sermon by this title. You say, well, don't preach it tonight. Save it for some other time, okay? And I will. But the name of the sermon is this: take some and pass it on. And I use an illustration. Back home, my dad always got served first. I don't know why, but he did. In case there wasn't enough, he'd want to get his part, okay? But then he'd pass it to the next person on the table, and he'd always say, take some and pass it on. Take some and pass it on. And that's what Paul is saying here. Hey, Timothy, you got something good. You got the gospel. You got the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got something good. Hey, Timothy, now, pass it on. And by the way, when you pass it on, be sure that they know how to pass it on. And guess what? That's the reason we're saved tonight, amen? They just kept passing it on and passing it on and passing it on and passing it on. Okay, what about you? What about us tonight, Crossroads Baptist Church, 2018? What's our part? And it's as old as it can be, but it's as good. We need people who will pray. We need people who will go. They were praying in the church at Antioch, and then some people decided, God wants me to go. We need people that will give. From here to the world. And by the way, Crossroads Baptist Church, here's the good news. The sun never goes down on your ministry. In a few minutes, we'll go home, lay our heads down on a pillow, and hopefully go to sleep. Amen. But about that time, someone across the world will be waking up, and they will be going out soul winning, and they'll be teaching, and they'll be preaching. From here to the world. Let me beg you, don't let it stop. I heard Billy Graham make his statement many, many years ago. Any nation is only one generation away from heathenism. And by the way, we're just about there. According to a child evangelism magazine recently, 60% of the children under the age of 12 living in the United States of America have never been to church one time in all their life. Don't let it stop. From here to the world. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, listen to the call tonight. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I wonder tonight if God isn't speaking to the heart of some young person, maybe some young couple, maybe some middle-aged couple. And you would say tonight with Isaiah, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I wonder if you tonight would not determine by the grace of God, I'm going to do more praying. I'm going to do more giving. I'm going to do more going so it don't stop with us. God has started something wonderful. The launch has taken place, and we don't want it to stop. We don't want it to fizzle out. We want it to continue. In just a minute, Pastor Kenny will come and finish the invitation and close us in prayer. Just think about it tonight. We are part of something big. Something has been launched, and we don't want to let it stop.
Let's all stand together. All over the building, if God has spoken to your heart, why don't you mind the Lord? Father, would you move in this invitation like only you can, in Jesus' name.